Thank you for choosing another presentation from the Southside Seventh-day Adventist Church. We pray that you will be blessed by the following sermon and that the Holy Spirit will speak to your heart.
Hear our prayer this morning. For we, your children, come recognizing there is only one way to heaven. There are not many ways. There's only one way, and that way is through Jesus Christ, your Son. And only if we humbly ask Him to come into our hearts by the presence of His Holy Spirit, He will lead us to all truth. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." Oh, this morning, oh God, we plead with you. Bring us into your presence. May we worship you today in your sanctuary. May your name be praised and glorified. May some soul hear your voice speaking to him, speaking to us. May we yield our stubborn spirits, our hardened hearts, that your Spirit might open our minds to your wonderful loveliness through Jesus Christ. Thank you. In his name we pray. Let us all say amen. 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 I love the hymns of the church. They just do something to me. Reach back on a hill far away, stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. But I love that old cross, where the dearest and blessed, for a world of lost sinners, including me, a world of lost sinners was slain. Amen? The hymns of the church are just nothing to me like to hear the hymns of the church from the people of God. Speaks to our hearts. This morning, I was struggling. What, Lord, do you want me to say to your people today? What is it that you have in mind? After all, Jesus said, "Not my will, but thy will be done." So it's not about me. It's not about you. It's about him. He has a message for his people, and we, his children, should be willing to follow the fifth commandment. What did it say? "Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee." I talked to my niece this morning at Oakwood. I gave her a call. I told my wife there's going to be a shot across the bow. You know what a shot across the bow means? A shot across the bow means that's how war started. When somebody shoots a bullet across the bow, that's war. That's fighting time. And you know, young people today want to do it their way. You know, and that's okay. We know what that was because we grew up in that, right? We've all been youth. We've all been, well, not everyone, I don't know, all the young people are gone. The children are gone. So I think everybody here has just about come through that. Well, we want to do it our way. We want to do it on our terms. And I understand that. When I was growing up as a young person, I didn't want nobody to tell me what to do. Not my daddy, not my mama, nobody to tell me what to do. But I had a choice. My daddy and my mama were in charge of that ship. And if I was going to stay on that ship, I had to obey the captain. Is that all right? I had to obey the captain. Because if I didn't plan to obey the captain and I wanted to have a ship to be the captain of, I had to get my own ship. And I had to pay my own way. You know, you can't have any young people today. They want it both ways. I want to do whatever I want to when I get ready, but I want you to pay the bill. That sound familiar? Yeah. That's our world today, right? But God said, no. He said, "I had a beautiful angel, and third of them in heaven decided that they wanted to do what they wanted to do when they got ready." And I finally told him, "Honey," no, he didn't say it that way, but he said, "You can't do it up here like you want to. You got to do it my way." have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. And they decided that they just didn't want to do it, and they were going to kick God out of his heaven. Now, you're talking about audacity. Somebody, one of your children going to kick you out of your home? Going to tell you, no, I'm not going to obey you, and I'm going to kick you out of you. And you know, unfortunately, you have young people today who are murdering their parents. Their parents are telling them what to do, and they're saying, I'm not going to do it. And they say, okay, I'll take care of you. And so we read it on the newspaper. So-and-so walked into their home, and bam, 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 killed everybody in the family. Yeah. I don't know what they expected to live off after that was happening, but you know, that's the way. You know, anger and pride and envy blind us to the realities of life. And so young people, they don't understand it. So I called my granddaughter this morning. I said, you know, your parents are working themselves to death to keep you at Oakwood. But you want to do what you want to do. And if you want to do what you want to do, you got to pay for it. She said, oh, no, I'm still living at home. I said, but look, they don't have to pay a penny for you once you're 18. They're not obligated at all. Everything there is their gift to you, is their grace. The law can't come in there and say, hey, look, you're not doing what I told you to do. No, 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 no. The parent is in charge of that house now. In fact, long before that, the parent's in charge of the house. In fact, maybe they should have stood up before that and told them that. But anyway, you know, and that's what happened with my home. I was down here. Mike was at home. He decided he was going to move out. So he moved out. So Jonathan and I jumped in the car and we drove down. I got on the phone and said, hey, how you doing, son? Oh, I'm doing fine. You know, mom wants to do this and I want to stay out till 2 o'clock at night. I work till 2 o'clock at night at UPS and, you know, I don't see why I can't do that during the week, on the weekend. And mom said, no, I can't sleep well. You need to come here at 11 o'clock at night. And so I don't understand it. So he moved out. So I said, oh, how you doing, son? He's doing fine. I said, where are you? Oh, I'm at my friend's house. Oh, wonderful. I'm so glad you got good friends. Let's see now. Your friends are going to pay for your college tuition, right? You got some wonderful friends, right? And your friends are going to pay for your insurance, right? They're going to pay for that. Amen? And your friends are going to pay for your hospitalization and all your health insurance. Oh man, what a fantastic group of friends you have. Hallelujah. I said, so God, we prayed for you to have as an adult that you would be independent, and you're there. So I'm so glad you have just taken the opportunity to do that. Amen. Just glad for it. Now in this ship, your mother's here, and I'm still in Bakersfield, and she's still here, and she runs this house. And whatever she says goes. All right? She's in charge. All right? And when you want to have your own ship, you're free to do that. But you're going to have to pay for it. All right? So if your friends are willing to pay for you and all this, praise the Lord. You got great friends. But if not, you got 45 minutes to be back in this house with all your gear. Now, Lord, and let's pray. Lord, thank you that you have a wonderful son. A willing son, and he's got all the brilliance of all that stuff in his head. Those 13 billion bet cells that are all up there. You've given it to him. Now, help him to use it to your name's honor and glory. Let us all say amen. I love you, son. Goodbye. 30 minutes, he was back in the house with all his gear. Yeah. We have to be real. You can't have your cake and eat it too. Fifth commandment, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And he didn't mean long upon the land in the prison. I got some friends in Oakland. They have one up at Delano prison. He's in there for life. In there for life. They don't expect you to ever get out. Ever get out of prison. Just talking to a young man this week, and he was talking about his brother, not mentioning the name. He's in there for life. His brother's in there for life. Parents are trying to help children have adult sense. Because when we're young, we can't see but this far. That's all we can see, past our nose. And parents are trying to say, I'm trying to save you from some of the headaches I have received as a result of butting my head against the wall. And my dad told me, son, it looks like you want to grow up and be in the school of hard knocks. I was in the school of hard knocks, and the knocks are hard. And you can beat against that wall with your head, you can kick it with your feet, and hit it with your elbows and your knees, and the wall ain't moving nowhere. You have the bruises, but the wall is not moving. We need to wake up our young people to the reality that God loves them. All the stuff that he has in this word here is because it's written from the beginning to the end, L-O-V-E. And what the world has out there with love, it ain't about real love. Like somebody said, it's puppy love, because they're not full dog, grain dog, they're not full grown dogs yet. It's a puppy love. We're trying to talk about real love. Genuine love that will not give in or give out. It will not thin or thin out. It's like white on rice and cold on ice. It's always there. That's God's love. And to try to help young people move from what the young lady said when I talked to her at the health department. And I said, what in the world are you doing with your life? Is that what your mama brought you up to do? Is that what it's all about? And she started crying. It's a black girl. She said, no, this is not what my mother brought me up to do. And another young lady, I was talking with her, and she was just trying to proposition me in the health department. Now, I'm there to treat her for sexually transmitted disease, and she's 16, painted up like she's 20, and going to proposition me, the health department deputy health officer, in the health clinic. All right? I mean, this is bold audacity. You know what I'm saying? And I had to simply say to her, hey, look, honey, how many times do you think you need to walk across Highway 99 in rush hour traffic and get across? Safely. Oh no, no, I don't plan to do. Oh no, I did. I said, honey, HIV/AIDS can bite you, and you don't even know you've been bitten. One day you get up nauseous and vomiting and diarrhea and all that kind of stuff, and you find out that you've gotten bitten, and it can't be changed. You got it for the rest of your duration. We got some drugs and so forth and so forth. And you got to have your clock and take it by the drugs, by the clock. We've got to be real with young people today. Not like the teenager who said, I don't want to hear about it. I want to experience it. Honey, there's some ships that you buy it. You got it. It's yours. As the other one said, it's yourn. You know, you got it. I don't think you want to go there, honey. You may think you want to go there. But the reality of the matter is, folk who are older than 21 are trying to tell young people who are younger than 21 how to live so that they will at least get to be 21. That's the issue. Not that we hate them. We love them, but they listen to the iPads and all the rest of this stuff, and they see it, and they think that that's real. That's not real stuff. If you really talk to those folk out there, they're looking for some security themselves. They know that it's just for a moment. They may have a flash in the pan. Poor Michael Jackson and all the rest has happened with that and so forth. People will build you up and take all you and give you all of that so they can take everything you have. They own you. They own you. And we need to tell our young people the reality of today's world. Now, that's what Jesus tried to do in John 17. John 17 follows the discourse that was started in John chapter 13. And Jesus was simply trying to tell them one thing. I came here for one purpose. And that one purpose was, I came to reveal who my Father really is. You see, the devil had painted a lie. He started in heaven. Everybody up there was having a great time. And the devil right there, Lucifer at that point, right there at the throne, looked and saw a law. I go, what? A law in heaven? Angels are bound by a law? Everybody was loving everybody. Oh, how a wonderful time they were having. And then he looked at Jesus, and what Jesus was doing, he said, He went to the mirror, looked at the mirror, and said, well, look at me. I mean, I'm a beautiful creature. And he was. He was an absolutely fantastically one-of-a-kind being. God created him that way. But Lucifer forgot that. He started saying, I will. And finally, he decided that, you know what? I'm going to exalt my throne above the stars of God. I'm going to be like the Most High. And he decided, talked to the angels, told them that, you know, there's a law here. A law? What do you mean? Angels? Yeah, there's a law here. Angels don't need a law. Angels can't understand by themselves what they need to do. Their will automatically tell them what to do. Isn't that what our young people are saying? And that's what Benjamin Spock. That's the lie Benjamin Spock sold us 1944, 43. Spock and baby care. Parents ought to get out of the way and let children do what they knew best, because parents don't know what children need. Children already know on their own what they need to do. And America bought it. People around the world didn't buy it. They thought we were foolish. We were. Yeah. And so then we started saying, oh, to spare the rod and spoil the child? You know, that's inhumane treatment of children. You know, call 911, you know, when that happens. And so we began a spiral in 1940s, downward in America. Children deciding that they could tell parents what's best. And so we know where we are now. We know where we are now. In fact, I had one of my cousins, said a simple thing. Her stepson came to spend the summer with her, and he's about 11 or 12, and he was telling her, oh, no, she ain't going to touch me. Now, she's about 5 foot tall. Mitris, okay, Huddleston was her name. And, she didn't say anything. So finally he came in, and she told him what to do, and he said, no, I ain't going to do that. She said, oh, yeah? She said, bend over that chair and drop your trousers. She took her belt and wore his behind out. Then she took the phone and said, here, you want me to dial 911 for you? I'll dial it. Children don't know that their parents really love them. And they're trying to prevent them from going over Fool's Hill, which most of us has gone over at 19, 20, 21, until we finally found out that our parents really had some sense. They really knew better than we did. Now, in some places, we didn't get that far, because if you tried, you'd have been across the room with your teeth out, wondering what happened when you woke up. We have to come back to what Jesus was saying in John chapter 17. The setting for John 17 is the continued discourse from the upper room. Jesus is talking to them about who he was and his father's relationship to the son and the son's relationship to the father and their relationship to the vine, him. You can, without the vine, you can do nothing. He's trying to tell them. And then in chapter 14, and we're all familiar with John chapter 13, as he finished it up in chapter 13, and our book cuts it off. You know, there were no chapters and verses in the scriptures. It was added many centuries later. But when that came up, he told them, Peter, y'all gonna all desert me. And Peter said, oh, not me. I'm not going anywhere. They may, but I'll die for you. And Jesus said, oh, yeah, you gonna die for me? I'm going to tell you, before the cock crows, you're going to be denying me three times. Oh, not me. And all of them said, no, that's not going to happen to me. And Jesus said, but I prayed for you. Now, look at that. Look at that, John chapter 13. Look at that last verse in John chapter 13. I'm reading now for the NIV. And incidentally, I brought these Bibles here because I want any young person that doesn't, or adult, who doesn't have a Bible, you didn't bring a Bible. I don't want you to say that's what Doolin said. I want you reading the scriptures. Deacons, can I have somebody help me distribute some of these Bibles? We came here to study the Word of God. Now, some of you have it in your palm, and some of you have it in your electronics, and that's good. That's good. But I want those who don't have that, I want you to just raise your hand. Don't be ashamed, whatever. I want you to have a copy of the Word of God. Because that's what we're talking about. John chapter 13, the last verse or two in John chapter 13. Let's look at that before we get into our short study for this morning. And here's what Jesus is saying. Beginning on verse, and then that's not a light up, a lot of light up here, but I'm thinking this is verse 37. And he's saying here, Peter asked, Lord, why can't I follow you? Now I will lay down my life for you. Then Jesus answered, will you really lay down your life for me? I tell you the truth, and he is the way, the truth, and the light. I tell you the truth. Before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. And then there's a break in your Bible, right? Doesn't it say 14? In the scripture, there ain't no break. Jesus went with unabated. He said, you will disown me three times, but do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, and so forth. He didn't even break. I imagine he didn't even take a breath. What he said was, I know you're going to disown me. I know you're going to leave me. But don't we worry about that. Because I've got rooms for you in my Father's house. What did Jesus say to the disciples when they went, the first the 12 and then the 70, and they went out and they cast out devils in his names and all the rest of that? They came back and they were just saying, oh, Lord, we cast out devils. We did this in thy name. What did Jesus tell them? Oh, come on, Bible scholars. Adventist Bible scholars. What did he say? What did he say to them? No. When they went out and they did all those good works in his name and they came back rejoicing at what they had done, and they were rejoicing, what did Jesus say? Don't rejoice of that. Rejoice because your names are written in heaven. That's what you should be rejoicing about. You can feed the poor. You can help the homeless. You can do anything you want to. But what I want you to rejoice about is you are written in heaven. Now, the angels were in heaven. And they got kicked out. But your names are written in heaven. That's what we should be rejoicing about. And so here we're talking about in John chapter 17, Judas is now gone. He's left. He's going to do his thing. So he's left. And Jesus is giving his final words. And this is the Lord's Prayer. you know, Matthew 6, we're talking about the disciples' prayer. You know, our Father, which art in heaven. They ask him, Jesus, teach us to pray. So he gave them that simple prayer. But this is Jesus. No. I missed that. Let me come back. This is the divine human third person of the Godhead talking to his Father, a member of the Godhead. This is an intimate in-house discussion. This is God talking with God. This is the all-powerful one who created the entire universe talking to his Father. And look what he says. The very beginning of that. Look what he says. John chapter 7. I'm reading from the NIV. After this, said Jesus, he looked toward heaven and he said, Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. Well, what is that about? Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. What is that about? How is he asking his Father to glorify him? What was he talking about? He was talking about the cross. What a way to glorify your Son. Take him from a world of lost sinners. Suspend him between heaven and earth on the tree that he created. Jesus is saying that was to glorify him. That's not our sense of glory, is it? No, that's not our sense of glory. We want, you know, I almost said it, but I won't say that. I'm not going to say that. I ain't going to say it. No, the Holy Spirit said don't say it. You know, John was about to write something, and the Holy Spirit told me don't write it in the book. Remember he said in John? He said don't write it. Don't write what the seventh thunder said. Don't write it. Holy Spirit said don't say it because they may not understand what you're saying, so let me say it a different way. God was saying my glory is character. When things get tough, and they all do for all of us, you know, I'm a Christian now, I've joined the Lord now, and everything's going to be like milk and honey, right? My, what milk and what honey? No. Then the old adversary walks on in and said, huh, yeah, you think you're going to do what the Lord tells you to do. How are you going to eat? Where are you going to live? Yeah, how are you going to get by in today's world? When you're in Rome, you got to do like the Romans do. And Jesus said to him in the wilderness, he said, no. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And some people would like to proceed and live by some of the words of God. I like this, like smorgasbord, you know. I don't know if I'm out there, where it is out there, you know what I'm talking about. Yeah, well, you can go around and you pick your salad and you pick this and you do that, you know, or over at hotels, you know, you can go in there and you can put whatever on your plate. Jesus did not say that. He said, man shall live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And some of those words we don't like, so we don't want to say them. I don't want to hear them. Amen. And God is saying, if you want to live, you must live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That's the only way to live as a Christian. And it's tough for me and tough for you. But that's the only way to live. So Jesus is saying here now, he's saying here, again, I have brought you glory on the earth. How did he, and I'm reading here, I have brought you glory on the earth. How? By completing the work you gave me to do. Amen. When Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments, He didn't mean if you love me, keep some of them. Choose, pick and choose which ones you want. He said, no, if you love me, keep my commandments. Now, was he commanding us to do that? No. He said, because there's only love that can lead to true obedience. That's the only way to do it. He said, Father, I love you, so I'm here to obey you. Not my will, but your will be done. But we, you know, we get it. Oh, no, Lord, this is what I want for Christmas. This is what I want. And the Lord has said, if you really knew what you're asking, if you really knew, I think you'd have. But of course, we don't know. So we still ask. But he doesn't give us everything we ask for. Lord, I would love to win the lotto. Lord is saying, oh, really? You may need to go and see some of those people who won the lotto and see what happened to them. Oh, no, no, that wouldn't happen to me, Lord. You know, I could handle it. Yeah, yeah, I'm sure you could. God wants us to give him our hearts. That's the only thing he really wants. He really don't want our cars. He don't want your money either. He don't want your tithe and your offerings. He don't want that. He wants your heart, because if he has your heart, he's got everything. Amen. He got your time. He got your money. He's got your influence. But we want to give him things. Like the discussion, we're not going to turn to it, but just quickly reference John chapter 6. Remember, right after the feeding of the 5,000? And the people looked around and disciples had gone. Jesus sent them across the lake because he didn't want them sticking there, because they wanted to make him king. So he sent his disciples across, and then he left. And the people looked. Well, where did they go? They jumped in the boats. Well, let's go find them. So they finally found him after what happened on the lake and all that kind of stuff. He said, peace be still, and all the rest of that. They finally found him. And he says, I know why you're here. You are here because of the loaves and the fishes. You saw the loaves and the fishes, and that's why you're back. Oh, well, we're children of Abraham, you know. And he said, oh, really? Are you children of Abraham? If you were truly children of Abraham. Oh, then they said, what shall we do to work the works of God? And what did Jesus say to them? This is the work of God, that you believe on him who has sent. That's the work of God. It's not the things that we do that God is interested in. It's where is our head and our heart. We can read it intellectually, but when it really comes down to it, oh Lord, you're raising the bar too high. The last time I checked, Jesus set the bar. He raised it on Calvary. Nobody can raise it higher than he raised it. And his thing, even in Gethsemane, was not my will, but thy will be done. So John chapter 17 now is Jesus, as we close here in a few minutes. John chapter 17 is Jesus talking to his daddy, his father, his equal. The divine Son of God talking to the divine Father. In fact, in one of these verses, he says, holy, and there it is, in verse 11. He said, I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name. Oh, we don't understand that. We don't understand that. We have not the foggiest idea what he's talking about. If we did, this church would be busting in its seams. People all out in the parking, people in the multipurpose room, people in all of the, you wouldn't have places for people, because we do not understand the power of the name of Christ. When he spoke, cast out demons, the demons came out saying, oh, we know who you are. You're the Holy One of God. Yeah. Remember when the demoniac, you know, was tearing himself out in the tombs and all the rest of that? And he said, he talked to him, and he said, of course, the disciples split back to the boat. He's getting out of here. But Jesus stood there. He didn't move. He didn't budge. He wasn't afraid of Satan. and his imps. Wasn't afraid of them. So when he came up foaming at the mouth, he just put his hand out and he stopped. And he said, "How many are you? What's your name?" And he said, "Legion, because there are many of us." And I want you to get this. And then they said, "Don't send us to the abyss. Don't send us to the abyss. Send us to the swine." And what did Jesus do? He said, "Go." You didn't get it. You didn't get it. If you got it, you'd be jumping up and down in these seats. You'd be shouting hallelujah. Praise the Lord. If Jesus was willing to answer the prayer of the devils, don't you think he'd hear your prayer? Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah, we'd be jumping up and down. He answered even the devil's prayer. Won't he answer yours? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. See, we read scripture, but we don't process it. It just goes over our head. It goes in one ear and out the other. We read it, but it doesn't mean anything to us. Doesn't mean anything to us. And so Jesus is talking to his father about his disciples, said, "I'm about ready to leave, and I've kept them by your name. But I'm ready now to leave. I want you to keep them by the name you've given me." And what was the name that the angel said he'd be given? What was it? Matthew 1:21. What was it? "And thou shalt call his name Jesus." That's the name. There is no other name. That's the only name that salvation can take place. No other name. And so when issues come up and the devil comes in like a flood, Jesus. Hallelujah. Peter walking on the water. Some people say he thought he turned around and looked at the disciples. He didn't turn around and look at the disciples. He was looking on the water and a wave came between him and Christ. And Jesus wanted to see if his faith could pierce through the wave. But his faith was based on seeing Jesus. And when the wave blocked him from Jesus, his faith was blocked. We can't let any obstacle block our faith. No matter what it is, the devil continues to throw stuff in our way. Keeps throwing obstacles in our way. No matter what it is, whether it's our health, whether it's our falling, whether it's our children, whether it's the economy, doesn't matter what, all he wants us to do, like Elijah on Mount Carmel. Fire came down, burned up the sacrifice, burned up the altar, burned up the dust, burned up the water. And then he prayed 7 times, and finally there was a cloud half the size of a man's hand coming. He said, "We got to get out of here, it's going to rain." And then he ran in front of the horses all the way to where the kings, and then he sat there and Jezebel sent a word. "Yeah, tomorrow at this time you're going to be like one of them." And he took off running. And he ran and he ran and he ran till he was exhausted. An angel woke him up twice and gave him food, and he went in the strength of that 40. He said, "Lord, I'm no better than anybody else. They're taking my life. I'm the only one." And the Lord said, "You're not the only one. I got 7,000 who haven't bothered me today. What do you mean? You're not the only one." The devil tries to isolate us. He tries to get us to think that, hey, nobody's there with you. But and he tried it with Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. He tried to say, "Hey, look, all your disciples are sleeping. And your other disciple, he's betraying you. And none of those people really care about you. So why don't you go on to heaven and forget about Calvary?" But Jesus said, "Not my will, but thy will be done." We can't let these things around us And the servant of the Lord said if Elijah had stayed there, there would have been a mighty spiritual revolution in Israel. If he stayed, God would have took care of Jezebel. We run because we think we are alone in our own strength. Without me, Jesus said, ye can do nothing. It's not about us. It's about him. It's about his church. It's about his people. Two more concepts. We're not getting through this. So let me just take two more concepts and we're done. You know what we talked about the other day? The other Santa? The main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. That's all Satan wants to do, is get us distracted from the main thing. That's it. The main thing is Jesus. There is nothing else. If you're not about Jesus, you ain't got nothing. There is nothing. He is the only one. And he said, I came to reveal my Father, and that's why he came. And then he came to us and says, I want you to reveal me and reveal my Father. And the devil says, you can't do it. Ain't nobody perfect. You know, I was in heaven, you know. We were in heaven. You think you won't get to heaven? You can't get to heaven. We were there. God doesn't forgive. I know. God doesn't forgive. Forget all this stuff you've heard. If we listen to him, we, like him, will be eternally lost. He's a liar and the father of it. We can't believe him. But he came in there, hadn't done a single thing for Adam and Eve, and made all these promises. And what happened? They lost everything. I don't know, it was Nat King Cole and one of them that had that song. He said, she got what you wanted, but she lost what you had. We must only trust God, what he says. And his biggest challenge is us is we are too busy to study his word. We are too busy to pray. We don't have no power. We have little resources in the bank, you know, and we think, yeah, my, you know, this and that. Do you know right now what's happening over in Europe on the euro? Do you understand that that is infecting the entire world economy? And that people who really know the financial business are afraid that we are in for a major worldwide recession. Wasn't it Bill Clinton who said at least we're going to be in it for 5 years? He didn't even know the truth of what he was saying. But Jesus told us that everything in the world will get worse and worse and worse until there will be a crisis that will fit on two things. Will you believe God and worship his whole law, that is, obey, including the fourth commandment? Or will you continue to do what you want to do and worship him according to your dictates? And America is going to make sure, this is Revelation 13, ain't nothing new. Revelation 13, the two-horned beast, horns like a lamb, but he did what? Spake like a dragon. America will repudiate every concept of freedom in the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. And they will say, finally, if you don't, we'll take your property, and last, we'll take your life. You need to die. Already, the Pope has already said we need to have a worldwide bank. Did you see that 2 weeks ago? A week and a half ago? Yeah, he's already told them to do. If you understand the relationship between, I'm digressing, but I'm closing, between Protestantism, apostate Protestantism, because many people don't know this. They don't know. That's why God has given this truth to you and me. But we go home, we hear it, and we sit on it, and we go to sleep. And somebody want to know, well, why are you perspiring? Because the hot stuff is causing me to sweat, but I'm not doing nothing with it. God has given this precious truth to us to share with those who are around us, because he knows that one day in America and around the world, apostate Protestantism, Catholicism, and spiritualism will join forces. The three spirits like frogs, Revelation chapter. And if you're not rooted and grounded in the Word of God, I don't care what you think. Anybody not rooted in the Word of God will be shaken out. Just like Jesus told Peter, watch and pray. Did they watch and pray? No. What happened to them? They fell. Unfortunately, what we're talking about is the close of probation. The last thing I want to say is the close of probation and the judgment that started in 1844, according to Daniel 8:14, is not about you and me primarily. You know, we know the names of all those who accepted Christ and then they would go through, but that's not who's on trial. God is on trial. And Lucifer has said before the court, the Hague, whatever you want to call it, the court of the universe, you can't trust him. And God said, okay, let's play it out. Let's see who we can trust. And when the angels and the inhabitants on the other world saw what Lucifer did at the cross to Jesus, he was expelled from all the other worlds. They kicked him. He couldn't go there anymore. He was bound to earth. He couldn't go anymore because they said, if this is the kind of stuff you're going to rule us by, we don't want you. They didn't understand it before. Now, the issue will finally become, is God true and just? Can he justify the sinner and yet be true his word that says the soul that sinneth, it shall die? Can you have both ends of it? And Lucifer said, Satan said, no, you can't have both. They're mine. Give them to me. They belong to me. They've sinned. They belong to me. And what Jesus was able to show, that God could be just and the justifier of them that believe in him. Amen. That's what Galatians is all about. Faith. Faith in the faithfulness of Jesus. None of us have ever been completely faithful, but Jesus never was unfaithful. So when I put our trust in him and God looks at us, the devil said, oh, that rascal. You know, look what she did. Look what he did. They can't come to heaven. You keeping me out and you expect to let them in? This is unjust, unfair. And God looks at him and he says, but I'm looking at Jesus who took their sins to the cross. And now when I look at them, there is no blemish in them. Now we are perfect in the Father's sight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is what he does not want us to know. Let us pray. Father, we're so grateful in spite of our despicableness, our dirt, our mess, our hatred, our denial, our sinfulness. You sent your only son, Jesus, that he might come and take all of our mess to Calvary. He was accounted sin for us. The law says, cursed is anyone that hangs on a tree. And Jesus hung on the tree. He took the curse that was ours, that he might give us the blessedness that was his. Hallelujah. Only you could think it up. Even the devil couldn't believe it. And yet, you did it for me. You did it for us. Anyone who believes in him, John 3:16, for God so loved the world. It was such a big soul love that John couldn't find a word to describe the love. So he just said, God so loved. He said, behold the love of God. Couldn't describe it. That whosoever believeth in him, the devils believe, But he's not talking about a belief that's fickle. He's talking a belief that goes to the heart. That says, not my will, O Father, but thine be done. Whatever you want me to be nothing all you want me to be. O Father, because of your grace, I'm willing to do it because of Jesus. O Father, thank you for your love. Thank you for your power. Empower, open our eyes, our dull senses, that we can see the love you have for us and all you want to do for us and through us to your name's honor and glory. That when you come, we'll be like you, for we'll see you as you are. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Forgive us for our slowness of heart. Forgive us for our doubts and our stubbornness and our pride. And if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and confess their sins, I will hear from heaven and forgive their sins and heal their land. Hallelujah. Thank you in the worthy name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening to another powerful presentation from the Southside Seventh-day Adventist Church. We trust that you have been blessed and pray that you will choose to be used by God. As always, stay blessed by the best.